Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bob, let's get this out of the way right now. We have to gauge Hokie's feelings on the Max Talbot issue. He moved to 10 o'clock. He's sitting with us. Limits just teased ahead to the show and teased to Max Talbot.
He did not tease Hokie. Chris Hokie, bro, 76.
Wait, I did tease the Hokie.
Didn't tease the Hokie. You
listen,
Max
brother,
Talbot.
Here's the deal, man. I'm just, I'm getting pushed around like I'm...
Like YA Black and the like, entire day. Like,
I'm not
Katie
going
Wilson,
there, Pop.
Like Peyton Wilson taking on a block. I mean, Hokie.
Oh man,
we love you.
You guys are going right at it right at the start.
I'm going
like,
back.
There's
to the
no
tape.
Easing into this conversation. You're going right at these
I'm
guys.
Going back to the tape. I 1,000% said it.
You know,
and you will hear it in a minute.
Chris is a routine man. He has a routine that he sticks to every single day, and we've every sort day. Of disrupted it. So
I felt bad, but this was an opportunity.
I mean, I get up at 5 a.m. every morning. I wasn't gonna get up at 4 a.m. Right? Yeah. I had to cut my workout short. I want to look like you, Stark. You know what I'm saying? So. But
he's
I couldn't get my abs this morning, you know. I mean, you're almost – what are you at right now, Stargie?
204.3, but who's counting?
0.3.
I can see
you
199.
Are.
Yeah, 204.3. Yeah.
You know, I weigh myself – and I write in my book. I have a little calendar book. And I every morning when I come down after I weigh myself when I wake up, I write down to the 10th.
To the 10th.
That's it.
And my lunch today is this thing right here, a little bottle.
What is that?
Cucumber, celery, kale, lemon, and ginger. It's called Super Green.
That's all you're going to eat?
For lunch, but I'm going to have a big dinner. And I had a big breakfast.
One of the things I love to do, I love to get a lot of steps, right? So after dinner, just go for a walk.
Yes.
You know?
First thing in the morning.
Well, he golfs every
and
day.
After
that's
dinner.
A lot of steps.
That's a lot of steps, too.
Especially the way I hit the ball, yes.
So when I take a phone call during the day, instead of sitting in my office in my home, at my home office, I get up and
pace.
I walk and I smack the stop sign at the end of the street.
I love that. Bob was going to buy me one of these step things that you sit in a chair and do for the whole show.
Why didn't he buy it for you?
I don't know. He never did.
Why don't we get
you
a sponsor that does that?
You know what I do late at night? Like I work till midnight or beyond. When I'm getting toward midnight, I look at my step count and it's not where it should be. Yeah. You will see me if they had a camera in that garage where I park. I go up and down the ramp at 11:56 at night,
just
up
steps.
And down and up until it hits midnight, just to get to where I need to go.
What's your target goal, Bob?
10,000 every day. I normally do more.
He does 20.
I know.
17 to 20.
He also has a six-pack ab, and I don't.
No, I just
you could.
He does.
For me, like I just changed my mentality. Like if I'm going to sit there and watch a TV show at night, let me go get a walk to the stop sign.
Right.
Walk to the stop sign and back's like 1,500 steps.
What I've been doing during baseball, basketball games, WNBA has been unbelievable, Bob. I don't know if you're watching.
I saw last night they had an elimination game.
Incredible. I do planks, except I can't even last a whole commercial break. I crumble, but
no,
I'm
but
trying.
Commercial hard, break's a long time.
It is a long time.
A whole commercial break?
Yes.
I think if you did like a 30-second commercial, you'd be good.
I know. I can't even do 60 seconds. I crumble like the Bills in
the
Super Bowl.
You got to start somewhere. The problem is people get discouraged. They can't do something. They look around. They say, oh, this guy, look how great they are in the gym. Look how ripped they are. I'm not there. And they get discouraged and don't come back.
Yeah.
You've got to judge yourself against where you were yesterday.
I know.
Where you were last week.
And you can't.
And you got to get better every day.
Right. And I can't judge myself against other people. I look at this guy to our left.
Yeah, he's shredding.
He could eat a cow and lose weight.
Yeah,
look at him.
I know.
Yeah.
But he's also 25 years younger than us.
I know. At
Everything
least.
Changes. Yeah.
How much do you weigh, big boy?
About 140, 145.
I was 140 when I came out of the womb.
140?
About 140, yeah.
Who's the skinniest person here, you, Crowley, or our boss, Craig Riley? Combined, you weigh 230.
That's a great comparison.
I'd say Craig is still very slender.
Yeah. Craig might check in at 130.
We should have a weigh-off.
But, Bob, I have to defend my honor. This was my headline today.
All right, Steelers and Patriots this Sunday at 1 o'clock, Fan Game Day. Donnie Football, Mark Cavalli, Jason Mackey will get it ready for you. And we have Chris Hoke in studio to preview the game.
Wow.
There it is.
Wait. That was part of the headline, right?
Yes. Just like the Max Talbot part was part of the headline.
No, I thought then you went to another jingle or something, and then you came
out. Yeah, you did. He's right.
It's kind of separated.
You went to a jingle and then teased ahead at
the show. And we have Chris Hoke in studio to preview the game as well. More headlines, 93.7thefan.com. Headlines are powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. The gang is all back together. It's a supersized Pomp and Joe with Max Talbot joining at 11 o'clock as well.
You're right, Bob. He had officially finished the headlines and moved on to the show team. Now here's the show introduction. Chris, thoughts, feelings, emotions.
No, I feel a little slighted, man. I don't blame you. Yeah, I've been coming in here doing this show a long time. Max Talbot comes on one time and he gets all the pub.
Superstar treatment, baby.
Superstar treatment. Yeah. Hokie, you get the superstar treatment every week.
How many rings does Talbot have? Three, four?
Two.
I have two.
Wait,
two,
three? So... No, two, one. He has one.
Does he have one?
Did he have two? No, he was gone by then.
One. Limits, I got two rings, man. What's up?
But he did have two goals in Game 7.
He did do that.
Okay. That's big.
That is big. Yeah, and honestly, if you look at the history of the game, you won't find too many people in a Game 7 on the road, two goals to win, and those were the only goals.
Well, how about this one? Who has the best record as a starter ever?
I'm 17-1. Chris Hoke, 17-1.
17-1.
Bobby, 17-1.
I mean, you can't do better than that unless you score two goals in a Game 7.
Exactly. Did you guys mingle with hockey players and baseball players in town?
No, if they were at things. I remember meeting these guys, but we never really hung out. I've been at dinners where I've mingled with, guys from the Pirates. I remember when, Crosby first came. I don't know if I ever met him, but I remember when Fleury was here, and I remember being somewhere with him and talking with him. But there's really not many opportunities for that to happen.
Yeah. Could you hit a home run at PNC Park like Crosby did? Are you sure?
Man, Crosby crushed that one.
I'll tell you.
Oh, maybe with one of those bats that those guys use like in Little League now, the ones that pop.
Yeah.
But
aluminum?
No, but there's aluminum, but they also have the bats that have kind of like that pop in them.
Corked bats.
Whatever.
Yeah,
what was the thing at the beginning of the season
we were talking about? That story went away so fast. I don't even remember what they were called.
I can't remember.
Those kinds of bats, Limits. What were they called at the beginning of the year?
Remember when there was a controversy about
The torpedo bats.
Torpedo bats.
That's right.
Yes. They went away.
When you're young, the memory is still there, too.
I'll tell you what he is good at, other than football, basketball. I watched him play on the Steeler basketball team.
Those were fun games.
He was good. They had Antoine Randall L., who played for Bobby Knight, for God's sakes. Ben.
Kiesel was really good.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And you were a power rebounder.
I just loved to rebound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't a great shooter.
What kind of rebounder were you? I mean, I know these are charity games. Yeah. But were you getting physical on your opponent in the last period of the game,
we wanted to win. It's got really intense, right? But it also depended on the intensity of the team we were playing, right? We usually play against faculty. We play against some charity things. But if they were intense, we'd pick up the intensity. We'd like to go out there and just shoot around until the last part of the game we wanted to win.
I remember some of those. I think it was the North Hills Teachers you played once. Somebody got a little over intense.
A little heated.
Might have been Mike White, too.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you'll see a guy go flying over the scores table or something.
James Harrison used to play in some of those games, too.
He did.
The role he served was just don't get near me. Or
just stand on the court and look at people. Was he good? Was he a good hooper?
I don't remember if he was particularly good. I don't think he was bad, but I don't think he was amazing.
Who was the best?
Randall L. was really, really good. Kiesel was good underneath. Right?
But Ben played.
Ben didn't play a lot, but when Ben played, he was really good.
Ben
was a great point guard. Ben had a great shot. Ben didn't go super hard, but Ben, he's just distributing the ball. Yeah, that's quarterbacks. They're good at everything.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, everything Ben did, Ben was good at it.
Lee Mays wasn't bad either.
Lee Mays? Yeah, I remember Lee Mays, the receiver. Yes. You're going way back.
He played. I remember watching Lee Mays.
I remember Lee Mays playing. Yeah, but those are the guys. I think Randall L. But they were all good athletes and good basketball players. I remember Deshae Townsend was a good basketball player.
Yeah,
C. Batch loved to shoot the three. He'd just go from three point line to three point line.
Right. Mm-hmm. He was like Steph Curry.
Yeah, he just liked to sit out the 3-point line and feed him, and he just hit the outside shots.
The Chris Hoke Show brought to you by Globe Airport Parking. Now,
I'm glad you could park there.
Yeah,
now.
update us on your car situation.
It's right now at the it's back in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
and they're doing an assessment of whether it's totaled or not. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you were parked in the main airport.
Main airport.
And your car got stolen last
I learned
week.
More about it. I'll tell you more about it at the commercial break. But
okay.
Crazy story. Wow. Something you might see on Cops one day.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That's perfect for that. In fact, they may take the whole idea and use it as a theme.
It's pretty wild.
Well, clearly we're trying to avoid the Steelers at the moment, especially their defense. I'm going to start you with this question today because I've been thinking about it since it happened. And we haven't talked enough about it because in a game – where you had one of the all-time NFL bloopers by Caleb Johnson, there was a bigger blooper, a worse play than that.
Third and 19.
The Steelers became the first team in NFL history, pro football history, to give up a running touchdown on third and goal from the 19-yard line. Nobody had ever done it. What the heck happened on that play, Chris?
Untouched, by the way.
Untouched.
I mean, it was the same of what was going on the rest of the whole game, right? I mean, guys were short on blocks. Here's what's happening. I think guys just got to play technique, and they're not playing technique. They're taking the easy route sometimes. You got to get over the top of blocks. When a guy's crashing down on you, whether it's a receiver or whether it's a tight end, you've got to pop that block. You've got to get over the top of it, and people are going underneath those blocks because that path of least resistance. And
but even
short
if you
on,
don't, how do somebody could be, get blocked five times? They should be able to stop a third and 19.
I think the guys were not anticipating a run like that. Maybe thinking that other guys were going to make the play.
Yeah.
But that's inexcusable. They give up a third and 19 when a team was pretty much saying we're just going to get as many yards as we can here, get set up for a field goal to make it a two score game again. And then they give up that big run for a touchdown to make it a 14-point game.
Right.
It was going to be a 10-point game. Then it's a 14-point game. And really, they more than that, it was sacrificing the touchdown. It just took the football soul of the Pittsburgh Steelers on that play.
Bob, this is horrifying. I was watching every week when, depending on who the Steelers are playing, Donnie Football will put an old Steeler game against that team up on the TV in the bullpen back there. Yesterday, it was you guys against Brady. I think it was Ben's rookie year when you broke their long winning streak.
They
had back to back great wins.
That was my first start ever.
Really?
Against the Eagles or against the Patriots?
Against the Patriots, beat them back to back.
They beat them back to back.
Those were my first two starts in my NFL career.
That is
Patriots,
awesome.
Eagles.
So a graphic comes up late in the game. The Patriots have 6 yards rushing late in the game. Well, Chris, this is an embarrassment, and it goes back to last year.
Yeah, listen,
what happened to their run defense?
I was telling my son last night, you know, it is embarrassing. I remember there was a year when our defense, the big nasty D, at the end of the year, we gave up less than 1 yard of carry on first down.
Wow.
Teams, Tom Brady and the Patriots, they couldn't run the ball on us, so that's why they started running quick passes and screens and doing everything, run play alternatives, because we were so good against the run. We took pride in stopping the run. And I was also telling my son, you know, there were nights when if I got knocked off the ball on one play, 3 or 4 yards, I couldn't sleep that night until I got and sat down and watched the film with Coach Mitchell. It would irk me. It would kill me because Coach Mitchell's like, we don't give up grass like that. We hold the line. Even if you're on the line of scrimmage and you're on the ground, you're taking up, you're not giving up and letting the linebackers run and flow to the ball. And it's hard to watch some of these D linemen get knocked off the ball routinely and continually throughout the game. It's a tough one to watch when you go down and break down this film.
It really is. And you talk about knocking off and the fact that people are getting pushed back. It's not just the defensive line, it's the linebackers. And I know you spent a lot of time last week on our post-game show talking about the linebackers, and there's the one play that comes to mind where the fullback comes out and takes two. It's almost like he's bowling for dollars.
Yeah.
And he got two pins down.
They're not playing downhill, right? When a D lineman gets double teamed, when I was playing, Coach LeBeau and Coach Butts, Keith Butler, would teach you attack the line of scrimmage. And these linebackers, when you see a Cam Harrow, when you see a Keanu Benton, when you see Y.A. Black getting double teamed, the linebackers are still just sitting there 5 yards off the ball. And they've got to play downhill. They got to come. And because the gap's open, they know that's where they want to go with the ball most of the time. And they're not doing that. And so to me, people want to say it's a scheme. I went back and broke down the film. Yeah, okay, they're running the ball away from T.J. Watt.
All the time.
Well, 47 runs, they have 13 away from 13 towards T.J. Watt, 34 away. But here's the thing. They're not getting out-gapped. Like, there's gap sound on the backside. Guys aren't getting in their gaps. Guys are either spinning. I see guys spinning out of their gaps. I see guys getting cut, like getting coming short, I mean, getting behind their blocks. I see guys when they come up, take on a fullback, trying to spill, which means you're trying to push the ball outside rather than your responsibility is to squeeze the ball, make it come back inside, right? I see guys not playing technique. And that's not scheme. The scheme, Coach LeBeau used to always say, I'm designing this blitz, meaning not to get you freed, but to get you a man on a man. You got to beat that man. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times blitzes don't come free. A lot of times it's just get man on a man. You got to win that block. And right now the defenders on that front line of scrimmage and the inside linebackers aren't beating blocks routinely. From time to time, yes, but they're getting beat more than they're winning.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, then let's start talking about how you would fix it if you were running defense, if you were coaching right yeah. now. And I don't know of a better place to start than at the point of attack. You guys had yourself and Casey Hampton. Keanu Benton, I don't think you have to be like a philosophy, NFL philosophy major to see that he's getting pushed backwards yeah. like he's on skates. How do you fix that problem? Should he start? Do they have an alternative to him?
Well, I don't know if they have an alternative. I think the only alternative would be that would be any better would be Wyatt Black and get him in there and take his licks, you know, let him learn through just the experience of making mistakes. I think he's a big, strong guy, and I don't think he's been playing terribly. I mean, I've seen him get knocked back a little bit, got pancaked one time last game, but I think he's a guy you can groom to be that next nose tackle. The reality is this. When I was playing for the Steelers, when I was a rookie, John Mitchell, probably one of the best defensive line coach ever with the Steelers or within the NFL, he always get on me. He said, Hokie, I'm not asking you to make plays. I'm asking you to play your technique and let your technique make plays. Make your play. And what happens sometimes is defensive linemen, and when you get in the social media era and you get where you want all this publicity, you want to go out there and make plays. And when you try to make plays, you may make a play, but in the next 10 plays, you're going to get blocked. You're going to get high. You're going to get turned around. And what's happened, like a Keanu Benton, you watch him. He's playing high. He's not playing technique. It looks to me like he's trying to make plays. And when you're trying to make plays, you're going to get yourself out of position. And you're not going to play good technique. He's got to get back to playing with good footwork, good pad level, good hand placement. You know, taking on a double team, make sure you're squaring up and you're leaning, you're using your post, and you're leaning on that, either it's a center or the guard, and letting the double team come down and posting against the guy on the inside and not getting twisted and turned and getting knocked off the ball. I mean, I saw him get double teamed, you know, many times when he was sitting in the lap of the linebackers. So he's got to play more style. He's a big, strong guy. He's an athletic guy. He's a talented guy, Keanu Benton. He's got to get back to playing technique, right? These guys got to get back to playing gap sound and all they care about, not making a play, make your play. Get in your gap and make the play that's coming to you.
All right, so I want to ask you something you just said before, though, and that is everyone's running away from T.J. Watt, which essentially takes him out of plays.
Yeah.
So they had experimented with moving him around. I would think now it's a chess match at this point. Teams are going to keep doing it. We've seen it on the first two games.
Yeah.
When do they move him? When do they make him more unpredictable in where he's going to be? Because if you're going to line up, and if you looked at that tape, which I know you did, they often had two tight ends and a tackle on the right side where he is, and the ball went the other way.
Four-on-four battle. Here's the reality. You can only do so much. I don't like them picking him up and put him in the core of the defense.
Why not?
Because he doesn't play over.
He's not getting any action over here.
No, but I've seen him line up last year on film, line up over the center. He doesn't play nose tackle and getting just totally blocked, right? Line up. He's on the edge. He'll be in the right or left. Here's the thing. You can move him around with line stunts. You can do things. But the reality is if he's getting triple teamed, like what happened last week, Jack Sawyer's got to get a sack. Guy's got to make plays. If you're going to triple team T.J. Watt, the other guy's got to beat one-on-one blocks.
Or when
Patrick Queen comes free on a third and nine, I believe it was, get the sack. right? Don't miss the layup. That's what's happening right now is they're putting so much attention on TJ Watt. Other guys are coming free and they're not taking advantage of those opportunities. So they got to make those plays and get them off TJ Watt. If other guys make plays, then they got to decide, are we going to triple team TJ Watt or are we going to pay more attention to these other guys? And then TJ Watt's opportunities will come.
I guess my point
Superman is, Superman can't get through triple teams.
But then why do they keep doing it? If you're going to keep banging your head on the door, why keep doing that? Figure out a way to get him more involved. And I think that comes down to a response.
They're trying.
They have to
make
a response to what they've seen, which they're not going to run the ball in this direction. They're going to go left.
But it's kind of deceptive a little bit. They run the ball. They'll do these plays. I call it like a wrap play, where they'll start toward TJ Watt and they wrap back to the sideline of scrimmage. So the backside guys, right, the right defensive end, the nose tackle, the outside linebacker, they've got to flow. They got to stay in their gaps. What's happening is they'll start towards TJ Watt at times and then wrap back to the others. Does that make sense what I'm trying to
say? Yeah,
yeah. They wrap back, and so the defensive lineman got to help out, right? It's like when TJ Watt wins on a pass rush and then the other guy loses his contain, or a defensive tackle gets out of his rush lane and there's an easy escape lane. For a defense to work, all 11 guys got to do their job. And if one guy doesn't do his job, another guy can be Superman, and he's not going to make the tackle. He's not going to get the sack, because then it's easy for Sam Darnold to step up or escape in that rush lane. And so everybody's got to work together. You got to feed the blitz. You got to feed your pass rushers. And the Steelers just aren't working together. And I think they're still in preseason form. I think they got young guys that are got to come on.
But this is a continuing problem. Let's go back to Benton. You and I and Bob talked about this last year, that he doesn't seem to either be equipped or want to play the role they need him to play at nose tackle. So I would ask, can he move outside then?
I think he'd be a great three technique.
And could Derek Harmon profile more as a nose tackle?
Yeah, I think Derek Harmon's a defensive end, but can Wyatt Black play nose tackle?
Yeah, Black would be
the guy who's a big 360, 70-pounder guy. But the reality is, you have to start asking yourself, is Keanu Benton in the right position, right? I mean, you know, he's a guy, for years now we've been saying he likes to swim, he likes to get off, he likes to penetrate, he likes to try to make plays. And as a nose tackle in a 3-4 defense, your job is to take on blockers and allow your linebackers to flow. You got to be, taking a phrase from Coach Cower, you've got to be selfless. You've got to be, as a defensive lineman, a lot of times you didn't recognize us because all we did was take on blocks so that the James Ferriers and the Larry Foots can make plays, right? And that's the responsibility of a nose tackle. And when you try to make plays and you're trying to swim guys and you're getting high, or when you try to make plays, you get high and then you get knocked off the ball, and then it's soft at the front of the line, and that's when they get yardage, and that's when gashes happen in the defense.
So another thing I've noticed too is crossing patterns, deep crossing patterns down, so that guys like Jalen Ramsey are chasing 20-year-old guys, 21-year-old guys like Torrey Holt Horton last week. Cross the field, he's behind, he's trying to follow him, he's not going to catch him. Do we see that as a trend, and how do you stop that from happening?
Well, I think you got to look at, and you either got to play a different defense, or because what happens is, I know exactly, they scored two touchdowns back-to-back weeks on that play where Torrey Holt, and who was it the last week before that?
It was the big guy Garrett Wilson for New York.
Yeah, and it was happening.
Same exact play.
And Jalen's getting picked off by the safeties, right? And so you either got to pass, that on. It's man coverage. They've got to figure out a way to get through that, or they've got to pass that on and play a little zone. But the reality is that passing concept, that route concept, is getting their defense beat, and it's happening the same exact way each time. And I guarantee you, the Patriots are going to run it and see if the Steelers have adjusted.
Josh McDaniels isn't dumb. Right?
No, I mean, it's a copycat league, right? Everybody's going to do what the other team did that worked. And that's exactly what the Seahawks did. They did exactly what the Jets did the week before, and it worked. Let's see if they make the adjustment. But my thing is this. I mean, A player's got to play A ball. I mean, that's Coach Tomlin's phrase. When you're an A player, you got to play A ball. And on Sunday, I mean, you still got these all-pro players that they didn't play in the preseason. I believe they're going to get to that point, but they're not playing at all-pro level right now. I mean, Jalen Ramsey got beat on that first drive, I think, for 2 third downs and a touchdown pass, and then he gave up that 43-yard pass. I think if I remember the sequencing of the game, the Steelers came within a score.
Yeah.
And then they threw that 43-yard pass.
That was
that was a third and 19.
That was after Queen had Sam Darnold.
And Darnold spun out.
He spun out, gained 19 yards. The very next play was 43 yards.
You guys, listen. You got to give a lot of credit to Darnold. Darnold played
lights
out.
He was really good.
He sat in that pocket and he took hits and he delivered the ball.
Yes, he did.
You know who the biggest Sam Darnold fan in this room is right now, Hokie? That guy right there.
Limits.
Little Limits.
All right.
Big Darnold guy.
But I thought Sam Darnold played lights out. I think he played really, really well. But why is it against the Steelers defense all the time? 2 weeks ago, Justin Fields had his best game of his career against the Steelers.
Right. And then he went out through for 11 yards against
the
Bills.
And got knocked out of the game.
Right.
So, I mean, they've got to figure it out. But I think that, listen, the reality is I don't believe it's – people can say it's scheme. But when I watch that film, guys at the snap are they know – they're gap sound on the backside. They're gap sound on the front side. Guys just got to win. And they're professionals. Right? Coaches can only do so much. They can teach you technique, but you got to go out there and execute. I mean, is it his fault? Is it the coach's fault that Peyton Wilson – got absolutely destroyed by a rookie fullback?
No, but that does bring up coaching decisions, and we'll get to that in a minute. Chris Hoke, gotcha. Super Bowl champion. Off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Okay, so you're more or less absolving the coaches of scheme.
I'm not absolving. I mean,
you're saying it's not scheme.
I don't believe it's scheme.
Then that's fine. But the coaches are in charge of personnel. So what I'm hearing you say, and tell me if I'm wrong, is you would start Y.A. Black at the nose, and then after you answer that, two other personnel decisions that everybody's talking about. How do you handle Alex Highsmith's position? Who do you start and how do you rotate? And should Cole Holcomb start and play more, maybe, than Peyton Wilson?
Well, let me say this to you.
Yeah.
Sometimes guys are anointed, right? Again, I talk about Coach Mitchell. He's like a second father to me. I love the man. He was such an incredible football coach. And he and I were really close when I played, and we'd talk, and he'd get frustrated sometimes because guys were just anointed jobs, right? They were just given jobs. Did these guys have to earn it? So sometimes competition will help the cream rise to the top, will help guys elevate their games. So putting Cole Holcomb in there and rotating him and Peyton Wilson, is that going to help Peyton elevate his game? Or does he feel, I don't know the answer to that, but I mean, would it make Peyton feel a little more on edge and make him maybe elevate his game because of the competition rather than was a position just anointed? Was he just given that position this year? I mean, does he feel the pressure? Or Keanu Benton, you put Y.A. Black and you start rotating him every other series at that nose tackle. Keanu's thinking, I better play doggone technique or I'm out. I'm sitting on the bench. And you tell him, listen, you don't play the way that Steelers play. You don't play technique. You're standing next to me on the sideline. Guy wants to play. He's going to play technique. But right now he's not playing technique. And I'm telling you, watch the film. And this is something that I'm not saying something groundbreaking or something brand new. I mean, people that watch film, you say you can watch it. You can see he's not playing technique. He's not playing the way it should play. If you put a little pressure on these guys and let them know, hey, there's some competition here. And they have the guys that do that in those two positions. Do it and let these guys know that you don't have the long leash you think you have. You're not annoyed and you're not proof, bulletproof in terms of, you know, being sat down.
How about the Herbig Sawyer breakdown?
I would go with Herbig and then let Sawyer. Sawyer's a rookie, right? Herbig's been there, done that guy. I mean, do I think that Sawyer could be a better three down player down the road? He has great size.
Who's the better run stopper?
I think eventually it could be Sawyer. Listen, Herbig's done everything that the Steelers have asked him to do, he's done it. He's gotten out there, he makes plays. Interception last week, I know Cam knocked it up, but it made sacks, big sacks last year. Herbig has done everything they've asked him to do, right? But I think that Sawyer, long-term, could be a guy, because the frame, he's able to knock the tight ends back, knock the tackles back, set the edge. He's a rookie. So I wouldn't throw him in like that. If you have Herbig, who can go out there and play, and rotate in Sawyer, you know, we all know T.J. Watt doesn't play every single snap, so he's going to have to be able to play both sides. But I think that if you do it that way and work him in slowly, Sawyer's going to be a good football player. I like his demeanor. I like his athletic ability. I like his size.
I want to get into the offense, but I know we probably should take a break before we do because the offense has just as many questions and things that have to change here as they move into New England, which they're going to have to score some points against the team that leads the NFL in sacks. So I want to get into that, but should we do it now or should we go to a break?
Let's do it next. Let's get into the offense. That was an incredible segment, Bob. This is why we pay him seven figures.
That's right. He's a big guy.
That
he
was
always
really
brings
good
it.
Stuff.
He
below the decimal point, well, to the right
ask,
of the decimal
let
point.
Let me ask you, though. They're clearly, as we've all said, they're running left. Wouldn't you want to run right at Herbig, who's on the lighter side, whereas Sawyer, you just said it could set an edge over there.
Yeah, they'll continue to run that way. But I think Herbig's a disruptor. He's a disruptor. And so.
But to me, he's better in small sample size. I don't know that he can
I think
play
they'll
every,
rotate him. I don't feel right, like he's a 70-player guy.
Right.
He will rotate, right? But I think that he's done really, really well. He's done a lot of great things for the Steelers. And he hasn't stood out to me to be a really bad weak spot pump. I mean, I can't go back and film and say, look at him just getting trashed right here. I can't say that about him. Let him go and run with it and let him do his thing. And if he proves that he can't do it, then put Sawyer in. But I think right now he's proven that he can get the job done, even though he might not be an Alex Highsmith. We're comparing him to Alex Highsmith.
But, Joe, I think your point is in last year where we saw more of him because of injuries. When he was in there a lot more against the run, he
wasn't noticeable in terms of getting knocked off the ball.
But their run game was getting skewered.
I don't think it was because of him.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is he was ineffective in making plays that were running his direction.
They've got
to
get stronger between tackles. Let's just keep it real. They've got to get better between the tackles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those five guys in between the tackles, or whether it's four or five, whether you go nickel when you have two down tight tackles and you have your two inside linebackers, or you go the 3-4 base defense, three inside guys and the two inside linebackers. They got to get better on those five.
Yeah.
That's just the reality.
Yeah.
Those guys got to destroy blocks. They can't get knocked off the ball. They can't get pancaked and take out two guys by a fullback. They can't get short on blocks.
Well, they don't have that guy, whether you're tying up blocks or not, they don't have a thumper in the middle who stops the run. Neither Wilson or Queen is that guy. They don't even have a guy they can bring in like a Landon Roberts.
Here's where they've got to improve. I'm not going to condemn them right away. Stark, I think that Peyton Wilson can have a good future here. But the reality is, if I'm an offensive team, I'm running right at the Steelers. I'm going right down the middle. I'm running 22 double. I'm running the power O. I'm running the lead block, and I'm going right at him. If I run sideline to sideline, you see Patrick Queen. If you don't get a hat on Patrick Queen, he's gonna make a play. These two linebackers struggle to get on blocks and get off blocks and make plays. Make them engage and disengage off linemen and see if they can do it because they've proven in the first two games they can't do it. Can they do it in the future? Possibly, but the first two games they have not been able to do it.
There's a playoff game from last year where there was.
I'm talking about this. I'm talking about this season.
I know, but we'll see. We'll see moving forward. We all know what the Patriots game plan is going to be, but we'll talk to you about that next.
And they can run the football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And the 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Man, we covered the defense top to bottom. And before I throw it to Bob to kick off the offense talk, our texters want to know if you would ever come back and coach, Okie.
Listen, they got coaches that are really, really good over there. So I think I'll stay right where I'm at. Right here with you, Starkey. I'd miss being with you every Thursday.
What about Bob?
Well, and then Bob on Sundays.
Yeah.
What about Thursdays?
I just said that. I'm with you on here on Thursdays.
Yeah, but you singled him out, not me. Well, this goes back to Austin at the beginning. See?
How was Bob left out?
Bob knows how much I love the guy. I tell him all the time how much I love him.
What about limits?
How long have we been working together on those shows? For a while now. It's been
at least a decade.
Yeah, over a decade, I think.
I insult Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, no, I just want to talk about the offensive line. While you can say, and Mike Tomlin did say, that it was better than week two, it's still not where it needs to be. When you rush for 2.7 to 3.4, sure, that's an improvement, but it's not what they want to do. And they have to allow play action to develop. You can fake it all you want, like they did in week one, and Aaron Rodgers pulled it off.
Yeah.
But as time goes on, if you can't run the ball, that's going to be the – so what do they have to do to run the ball better? Is it more offensive line?
They
got to
win. They got to win at the point of attack. It's the same thing on the defensive line. You've got to be able to win. I saw double teams getting beat. Murphy had a day on Sunday. Murphy, the
D-tackle. Byron Murphy.
Round
for the Seahawks. Last year. Yeah, he's good.
He had a day. I mean, he was beating double teams. He was beating guys that typically are pretty good. And coming off making plays, Leonard Williams had a great day coming down the line. I mean, they just got to win at the point of attack. That's the biggest thing. If the Steelers can win at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, they will be a much better football team. That's where games are won, where championships are won, and that's where this team right now needs to improve the most.
Bob, I feel like we're running out of time, and that makes me very sad, and that makes me want to engage Chris in a game of free association.
We always love free association.
Feel free to pop in a question or two, okay?
Okay.
Feel free.
But it's quick answers, right? We're going to go like hurry up offense here.
Yeah, this is a hurry up offense.
I'm not good at I like to give content.
I know, you do. But if you need to do this in one word,
okay.
Yes or no, that's fine. Five words, you know, but keep it short. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
The tush push is back in the national news. Are you a fan of it?
I don't like it when it's against me, but I like it. Yes.
Should Brady be allowed to be an owner, de facto coach, and national broadcaster at the same time?
I don't believe so.
Best team in the AFC is who?
Best team in the AFC is LA Chargers.
Ooh. Are the Chiefs done?
No.
Will Caleb Johnson get a helmet this week?
No.
Should he get a helmet this week?
No.
Should Jaylen Warren be a 20-plus touch guy?
Jaylen Warren, 20, yeah, oh yes. Absolutely. They need him to get him the ball more.
Do they still need a number two receiver?
No.
That was good, Bob. Do you have any questions? I'm surprised you didn't jump in.
Well, you had a flow going, you know, and I don't want to interrupt the flow when it's going. So, getting back to Jaylen Warren, I feel the same way. His carries have been limited mostly because, you know, again, the down and distance not worked in their favor. But I think he needs to be – I think this whole – whatever they're going to use Gainwell for, it should be reduced. Jaylen Warren is a three-down back the way I see it and the way he's playing. In terms of his energy, he's good in the pass game. We saw the 65-yarder. I think he should be on the field 90% of the time.
I agree with that. But I don't know if his body could take that load. But I think we should see how much of a load he could take. He is electric with that ball in his hands. You see it. But I do like him as a change of pace guy too. You asked me, Starkey, about Caleb Johnson. I'd like to see them give him a little bit of run, touch the ball in the backfield. Let him run the ball on first, second down, and let him just go in there and see if he can pound the ball a little bit. I like Jaylen Warren also as a change of pace guy too. He's really effective. I mean, you think about last year with Najee was here, and then Jaylen would come in. That pounding, it was kind of like, you know, when me and Casey played, right? Casey was very, very strong, physical, and more, you know, and then I'd come in, I was a little quicker. You know, the only thing that might have been a little bit better, but Casey was amazing. And then I'd come in, and sometimes I threw people on their heels, right? And so you have a pounder, and then you bring in a guy who's a change of pace guy, it keeps defenses on their heels more.
But he can't be both.
I don't know if he's as pounder as much. Short yardage on third and one, would you rather have him or would you have Najee in there? I would say Najee, but Najee's not here, but I'd say a bigger physical guy.
But again, he attacks it.
I'm not discounting. He's a really good running back.
He worked his body.
Jaylen Warren is really good. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm dissing him or anything.
One of the free association questions Joe offered was Caleb Johnson. You said, no, he shouldn't play this week. I get that.
Give him an opportunity to think.
But he is a third-round pick, and you cannot lose a third-round pick that easily. And I don't think Mike Tomlin has any intentions of doing that, regardless of whether or not he comes back as a kickoff return guy. To me, they got to start using him somewhat in the run game.
I agree.
Because otherwise, you're wasting a first season. There's nothing
wrong with sitting him down for a week and let him just kind of gel on this, and then come back next week with take a deep breath.
How about playing again and get it out of your system so you don't think about it as much? Well, maybe he's more motivated this week.
Yeah, I think, and Tomlin will make that decision. Tomlin knows his personnel better than you and I know the personnel, right? And maybe Tomlin thinks getting him out there and playing is the right thing. Maybe he thinks sitting him on the bench, but I know right now he won't be back there at the return man. They're going to have kind of a tryout thing today. I don't think they even know who's going to be out there today on Sunday to return kickoffs. But they'll find out. They'll have somebody back
there. That's a big part of the game.
Huge.
You know, coming into the season.
Field position is huge, right? Football's all about field position.
Yeah, and every kickoff's getting returned this year. It's like most since 2010. Sunny today and a high of 85. Nate Washington, low of 57. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Hokie, we're down to 2 minutes.
Two-minute drill right here.
What scares you most about the Patriots, and who's going to win the game?
You know what? It's their pass rush. They lead the league in sacks. I know it's only two games, but the pocket broke down. Even though Aaron Rodgers did a good job of eluding a lot of the rushes, but you don't want your quarterback running for his life for half the game. I think there was like 25% of the time he was hit. If you look at the QB hits versus total times that he dropped back, approximately 25% plus or minus. But you don't want that. The pocket collapsed a lot. They've got to be a little more stout in protecting the pocket. I believe that if they give Aaron Rodgers a clean pocket, he will play at a really good level. I really believe that. He's shown that. And he can still throw the ball on the run, but you don't want him to do it every single play. So that's what scares me, is this Patriots pass rush. The other thing is, when I watch the film, when you look at the Patriots right now and you look at their running offense, I know we're running short on time. You know, their rushing offense, they're 23rd in the NFL and 22nd in terms of run average yard per carry. But when I watched them run the football last week, they pounded the football. Mm. Stevenson was able to run the ball. And so the Steelers got to be ready, because they're going to come after them. They're going to give them a heavy dose, and they're going to see, can Peyton Wilson come up now and rebound, right? You know, what are they going to do on the defensive line? Can these guys hold point? Because they're going to come out, and they're going to try to be physical, and they're going to try to bully the Steelers. Will they rise up? Will they improve from week two to week three? We'll find out, but that's going to be one of the storylines of this game.
Real quick, Drake May, your thoughts on him? Because I thought he played great last week.
I thought he played great. I thought he's a guy that they got to be prepared for. I mean, and they can't play him like they played Darnold, right? I saw in the film, sometimes they overloaded one side with Cam and whoever the other defensive tackle was, and left the whole other side open. You can't, because they weren't worried about Darnold, you know, escaping the rush. This week, this guy can run. You better balance the rush. You better squeeze the pocket and make him throw the ball. But he threw some good balls last week.
Final score?
I think the Steelers are going to have a tough one up there. I think they're going to actually lose up there. I really do. And it's not because – I think the Steelers are going to play well, but they're going to lose in a very tough physical ball game. And I think they lose 24-23.
Ooh. Thank you, Hokie.
Yes, sir.
Hokie,
great
bro.
Stuff today.
Hokenstein.
Dr. Hokenstein.
Hokie's heroes.
I do think they're going to play better. But, man, up there in Foxborough, it's tough.
It's a house of horrors.
They haven't won since 2008. They don't play a lot there.
I played there, and I think I won one time, and that was when Brady was out.
Right. You played the castle. You played the castle made of sand.
I had a nice tackle for a loss.
Castle got a lot of contract money out of that one season.
Yeah. I had a nice tackle for a loss on Randy Moss on a reverse.
Did you?
Yeah.
You tackled Moss. That's a beautiful
thing. On a reverse,
it
was awesome play.
You mossed Moss.
Mossed Moss.
Bob, we have to go. You keep going overtime here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.